Hosea is almost a love letter to God's people. It begins with a plea, return to God, seek forgiveness. But the call to seek forgiveness isn't just an own up to it kind of a call. Because what immediately follows the call to confess is a promise of forgiveness. Before they can confess and seek forgiveness, they hear the words that God will forgive them. Through the prophet, God says, I will love them freely. From that forgiveness and love, a garden grows. Israel shall bloom like the lily. Its beauty shall be like the olive tree. Its fragrance like wine. A garden will spring forth from God's forgiveness. Worship this morning is going to be a little different. It already is. As we finish up our summer reading series, we'll be reading The Forgiveness Garden by Lauren Thompson as we weave together all parts of our worship. It's a story that's based on what came out of tragedy. After 15 years of civil war that claimed over 300,000 lives in Lebanon, the Garden of Forgiveness was born in Beirut. The garden is the vision of Alexandra Asali, humanitarian activist and psychotherapist who has declared that every act of revenge is a time bomb thrown into the future. Not long after the garden came to be, but on the other side of the world, American pastor Reverend Lyndon Harris was occupied dealing with violence at home. Harris was the priest in charge at St. Paul's Chapel, the church directly across the street from the World Trade Center. He helped convert the chapel into a rescue operation serving the needs of the men and women who courageously faced the challenges of rescuing survivors and ultimately recovering the remains of the dead. For the 8.5 months that followed September 11th, the chapel was open around the clock, serving over 500,000 meals to rescue workers. In 2005, Reverend Harris took family members who had lost loved ones in the tragic events of 9/11 in New York City to plant an olive tree, a tree for peace, in the Garden of Forgiveness in Beirut. Standing in that garden, the Americans pledged to bring Asali's vision to New York and to the world. This book and the Garden of Forgiveness Foundation that he began are part of fulfilling that pledge. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "There is no future without forgiveness." Peter asks Jesus, "How many times must I forgive? 7 times?" Jesus answers, "Not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times." There is no end to God's forgiving of us. Neither should our forgiveness for others and for ourselves end. So let's listen to our story. There was a valley, and through the valley ran a stream. The village of Viam stood on one side, and the village of Gamti stood on the other. There was no peace in the valley, for the two villages had hated each other for a long, long time. One day, a new argument sparked. Both villages claimed a certain part of the stream as their own. Angry words flew across the stream, then stones. A Gamti boy named Karun picked up a large stone and hurled it across the water. A Viam girl named Sama stood where the stone fell. The stone hit Sama hard on the head, and she fell hard to the ground. The villagers of Viam ran to help. The villagers of Gamti cheered and ran away. The Viams called out for revenge. They were angry and they were afraid. Would the Gamtis never stop fighting us? They gathered around Sama, admiring her courage and plotting their revenge against the Gamtis. As days passed, Sama's pain began to lessen, but her hatred of the Gamtis grew. And in the village of Gamti, too, the people were angry, and they were afraid. Would the Viams fight us always? They gathered around Karun, praising his courage and scheming how to defend against the Viams. Karun secretly wondered how brave he had truly been, but his hatred for the Viams only grew.
Thank you.
One day, Sama walked along the stream, yearning for something to ease her aching, angry heart. She reached a calm pool and bent to drink. What she saw reflected there stopped her. She saw the ugly scar, but most of all, she saw her own dark, brooding scowl. "Who have I become?" she cried. Sama wept for a long time. Then Sama looked across the stream. There a few children from Gamti walked together. How scared and angry and sad they looked. Sama's heart softened. They were just like us, she thought. Suddenly, a few of Sama's own people ran up. "Here you are," they shouted. "The time for revenge has come." And they pulled her away to join the fight. Villagers from Vyam and Gamti crowded the stream. The Vyams held a captive. It was Karun, and they all held stones. A large stone was put into Sama's hands. It was the stone that Karun had thrown. "Throw the stone at him," her people hissed. "Throw it hard." Sama looked at all the villagers, those from Vyam and those from Gamti. Their faces were like hers and like hers had been, hardened with anger and fear and hate. Suddenly, Sama knew what she had to do. "No," she said in a loud, clear voice. "I won't hurt him. Let the boy go."